Views expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. The following program contains views which some might find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
They would be happy to put a warning on an album that said explicit lyrics, parental guidance.
Let me ask you this. If we have categories and labels and rating systems for movies, why are you opposed to a similar rating system for records?
Well, if a person is hired as an actor for a film, whatever they rate the film doesn't hurt the actor as a person. He is a hired hand and he's pretending. If a person makes an album and he's written the song or he's performing the song and his name is on the album and his picture is on the album, if you rate the album, you're rating the person and you apply a stigma to that individual, and that's not fair.
As a regular radio listener, I feel I must protest most strongly as often as possible. Yours sincerely, Brigadier General Titfield Thunderbolt, NC, GPO, PVC, DSO, and Looney.
Our story opens today in a really ugly building in the really dreadful little country of Canada.
Thank you so much for meeting me, Brock. I had to wait a really long time.
It took a little while. I've had a few things to do.
I know, but now that you're elected, we can make videos every day. Remember how you promised we'd do that?
That's not true.
But I remember you saying that.
All I've said.
I know. Just one song. So you want to do it now?
Absolutely.
Tell me when you're ready.
Let's go!
Democrat and Republican, black, white,
libertarian, socialist, left and right,
Hispanic, Asian, Native American, gay, straight,
birds and cats, fish and live bait,
young and old, rich and poor, Americans who sent a message to the world that we have never been red states and blue states. We are and always will be. States.
Let's talk about me and you.
This is a major issue.
Boy, we've come so far.
Isn't it great that we finally got a woman?
I've got a crush on you, Bill.
Thank you. Why are we whispering?
Now the whole country got a crush, too.
The challenge now for us is to make sure we get known.
Yeah, now that we'll be BFF, we ain't gotta be alone.
I will listen to you.
I'll always be true.
This is the moment when we must come together to save this planet. Democrat and Republican, black, white,
libertarian, socialist, left and right,
Hispanic, Asian, Native American, gay, straight,
physically fit, chunk and overweight,
young and old, rich and poor, Americans who sent a message to the world that we have never been red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States.
Remember when you said
it is not appropriate.
Although we're close,
we're not kissing cousins.
You said you're the best candidate. Who you got your money on now?
I'm putting my money on my girl.
Who you got your money on now?
I'm putting my money on my girl.
We'll see your memories in 10.
Let's say we go up to 20.
And be doing what we do best when we
unify the country.
Yeah.
This moment demands.
We all join hands.
We're not just a collection of red states and blue states.
Democrat and Republican, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, gay, straight,
marsupials and invertebrates,
young and old, rich and poor, Americans who sent a message to the world that we have never been red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States.
Red states and blue states.
We are and always will be the United States of America.
Defense system in Europe, but I believe it's in our interests
to try to figure out a way for the Russians to understand the system is not aimed at them, but aimed at the real threats of the 21st century, which could be a launch from a violent regime, the launch of a weapon of mass destruction. So there's areas, Dave, where we need to cooperate in.
Let you finish. You're done.
An upcoming nuclear state with a president who at most is unstable, at worst perhaps close to insane. How do you engage Iran?
Don't do it! Shut up!
I will not be pushed. Filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
For official purposes, everyone has a number.
I am not a number. I am a person. Soft Corinthian leather.
Now, let's just sit down and chew on that a little bit. You pick up on it. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Corinthian leather, chewing on it. It's pretty good stuff. Hard to swallow, though, but I'll do it in honor of Ricardo Montalban. Welcome, everybody, to the program. It's Greg Duffel here, as I often am on Sunday mornings, usually live here in the studio, which I am today, and back again for another round of chat on a Sunday morning. And last week I was telling you about a little incident around my home where I live. Usually people do live in their homes. And there was a sign, a billboard, not too far away from where I am. And as it turned out, somebody had put a speaker into this billboard for the purposes of getting rid of errant birds, like pigeons. And it was, they put a squawk of a hawk in there, and it was screeching out every minute. So every minute through this whole neighborhood, down this major street in Toronto, major thoroughfare, there was the squawk of a hawk. But I thought that it was a bird in distress. Anyway, long story short, right after the program, I received an email at internationalconnection@rogers.com, which is our email address should you wish to contact us. That's internationalconnection@rogers.com. I know it's an awfully long email address, and you could misspell it, and maybe you think you've sent something out and it comes back saying that it's not right if you get one of the letters wrong. But yes, internationalconnection@rogers.com. And someone from the neighborhood was listening and wrote in. Wrote to me and said that they were annoyed and kept awake by this squawking too. I don't know who they are, and they don't know where I live. I don't know where they live, but they're listening. And we had a little bit of a communication last night back and forth, and evidently they said that Sasha, hello Sasha, Sasha will be listening for the first half hour, but will miss the rest of the program. I don't know whether they're happy about that or not, but and I'm not even sure that they're listening because I can't see them, but anyway, welcome to the program. And as usual, over the last few weeks, I have had with me a distant co-host. That's maybe similar to a distant cousin. But Bob, are you there?
Yes, Greg. Good morning. Don't worry about me. I'm not really here to contribute. I'm just here to babysit and monitor the actions of Dave Cooper. That's my job.
Thank you.
Sorry, I have to be here.
I don't know who you're. You seem to have this mysterious person that you're, is a person who's against you. You feel that he's monitoring you, and I don't even know who it is. It's you've created this person. I don't know whether they're real or imagined. But we'll just carry on. We'll just let you have that possible delusion, or maybe you know something that we just don't know. That often happens, though, on this program, that you, Bob, know things that we haven't got a clue about.
You can count on that, Greg. And yeah. Don't worry your little head about Dave Cooper.
All right, thank
I'm
you.
Monitoring
All
him.
Right. And it's not Dale Cooper, as in Twin Peaks.
No.
It's a different one, so a different nemesis.
So Bob Marshall was Dale Cooper. Dale Cooper was modeled on Bob Marshall.
Oh, all right. Well, Bob, did you
Don't
see the...
Don't bring me into this show.
Oh, all right.
Involved
all right.
In
you called yourself an Ed McMahon last week, and I thought...
Hey,
I was
going to
call. You called yourself an Ed McMahon last week, and I thought I'd maybe just call you Ed, but...
No, I said I was Johnny Carson, and you were Ed.
If I had the tape available, I should bring clips of all this stuff if I'm going to reference it.
Yes,
but,
for fundraising. We'll use all that stuff for fundraising.
So do you have a television there, Bob, in Hawaii?
No, I haven't had a television in 20 years. Ever since I stopped working at CKLN, you know, with Mike Dyer, I didn't have to keep up on the news anymore.
Well, I did, and I saw this Obama inauguration neighborhood ball. Do you know anything about this?
No. Oh, didn't he claim that he was a neighborhood ball? He said this is a neighborhood ball. He was talking about his dance there. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he. What happened after the full day of these inauguration proceedings, where he got out of the car, his bulletproof, bombproof, laserproof, nuclear bombproof car.
Yes.
And he actually walked down Pennsylvania Avenue.
I understand for a couple minutes, and Biden walked longer. Did you notice that Biden got more coverage than Obama?
About that, yeah, because he walked longer.
And then
all of a sudden, Obama reached a point, I think the first time he was out of the car, because he was out of the car twice. And he gets a new car. Did you know that?
Well, no. Well, I didn't watch it. But he got in another
it's
car?
It's a new car. It's a Cadillac, and it's different from the bulletproof, bombproof, nuclear weaponproof car that Bush had. They get him a new supercar.
Oh, I see. Yes, I heard about this. It's amazing. You don't have a TV and you can hear what's going on just by people sending emails.
And you can imagine it.
Yeah, no, he got a whole new car.
Yeah,
he
got a whole new car.
In the world.
And it sounded last night like he got a whole new 747 plane, but actually he only got a new pilot, evidently.
Well, he's got to watch out. I mean, apparently George Bush Sr. tried to kill Senator Kennedy, you know, during the inauguration. He collapsed. Bush Sr. had poisonous food. That's what it says here on my news sources.
Really? Well, Bush Sr. was hobbling around something fierce. I've never seen him in worse shape. He was shuffling around. He had a dickens of a time getting down the stairs into where they were all sitting in this inauguration booth. And he looked in bad shape, and I was happy about that.
Yes, well, he's been under house arrest for 2 years.
That's tough on you. I guess, you know, when you're under house arrest, you can't walk about that much. But they had this, he got out of the car. Obama and Michelle Obama got out of the car. And the first time they got out of the car, he reached a certain point. And then he looked all worried. And he said something to her, and she was standing there just not knowing what to do. And he ran back to the car.
Oh, wow.
And then they got in again, and then they went off a while. And then he got out once more and strode down Pennsylvania Avenue. But then David Gergen, who has been an advisor to almost every president, every modern president since Nixon, I guess.
That means he's the president.
Right. And he with Clinton, Reagan, the whole lot of them.
Yep.
And now CNN and Wolf Blitzer. That shows that he's really important when he's an advisor to Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah.
And Gergen got really upset about Obama walking down the street. He says, I really think they're taking a chance here. They're really taking a chance. Though some of those buildings aren't secure. They're not federal buildings. And then Wolf Blitzer says, I think that those are federal buildings. Those are federal. The buildings he's passing by are federal buildings. And David Gergen says, and a couple of them got into it. And they said, no, this is very, very dangerous. Obama being out on the street alone or, you know, unprotected. Could they didn't say what would happen, but it was just they were just worried and flabbergasted. They said, "I'm so glad and relieved he got back in the car."
Well, great. That sounds like a new soundbite for sampling and collages for the wonderful sound artists on CKLN. Oh no, those are federal buildings. Those are federal. That's a good one.
Buildings. So this whole day went by, and they were standing in this booth. They eventually made their way to this booth, and this parade went by, and
Greg was watching.
DVD recorder was watching for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I can't watch this kind of stuff. I don't have time to do that. I was probably this morning, Bob. I just barely made it in here on time.
I get up. Why don't you?
You're at home.
I
think that experience where I was at my mother's house and got up, and
it just took it all out of you. You just don't have that old.
Yeah, I don't have that old moxie anymore. Unless I can just get up out of bed, walk over to the phone, and have somebody else get it all together for me. I don't know. It's a bit too much for me. So this week I was in bed. My feet were down at the bottom of the bed. They were covered or just close to the cat. My cat, Fluffy, was down at the bottom of the bed, and it was just my feet were so warm, and it was just so comforting. And I guess I just dropped right back to sleep. And
what time did you get up?
I got up at just around 8 o'clock. So I had a half an hour to get to pack up my things, walk over here, and assume the position of the host.
You fell back to sleep.
I did. I woke up around 6:30 in the morning, and I thought, my alarm's set. And then the alarm must have gone off, or maybe I didn't have it set right. But it's getting tight now. I gotta get to bed earlier, and I gotta get up earlier to come down here because this is not good. I could miss the beginning of the program.
Well, you didn't finish the drama. You fell back to sleep. What happened?
No. I got up at 8.
Oh, see, yeah. Okay, all right.
I was awakened at 8.
No, at 6:30.
At 6:30, I woke up by myself. At 8, Catherine woke me up and said, "What time is it? Greg, what time is it?" Like, she didn't have to get up, at least at that time. She said, "What time is it?" And I go, "Oh, my God, it's 8. I got to get out of here.
Panic.
You know, it's like Batman. I got to work."
Yeah, you can't have dead air.
Yeah, you can't have dead air.
You had to run?
I didn't run, but I walked briskly.
What's the weather like there now?
It's actually a nice morning. I was expecting it to be extremely cold, and it's nice out there. It's not a bad temperature.
Do you have snow?
There's snow on the ground, but it's a nice sunny day.
Yeah, in about 20 years, I'll be able to say, well, I haven't seen snow in 20 years.
Yeah, that's what they say. I don't believe all this stuff. Anyway, so they had this, they were in this booth with the kids, and Chaney was in a wheelchair.
Yes, I heard about that.
And people said he looked like Dr. Strangelove. And he did, except with a hat.
There's a video going around on the internet. He actually attended the San Francisco gatherings, pro-Obama gatherings, and his double was at the in Washington. And the real guys walk around fingering everybody. It's a pretty funny video. I'll send that to you.
All right. You have access to almost a fourth dimensional world there.
Parallel reality.
So if that weren't all enough, and Obama, everybody knows that the whole oath got screwed up. Did you hear about that, Bob?
Yeah, I heard about that too.
And it's amazing. You don't have television, you heard about that. Yeah, you read, obviously.
People send emails. I'm always being alerted to everything.
Yeah, I won't go into that. That's just useless. So I'm watching. This is what people haven't talked about, I don't think. There was this neighborhood ball. They go to all these balls at night, and they go back to the White House, get all suited up, and head out on the town to these various shindigs that are going on around Washington. And everybody's got an agenda. So one of the agendas was that of Disney ABC. Disney ABC paid for rights, exclusive video rights, to this and produced this program called Neighborhood Inaugural Ball. And incidentally, the day before, in preparation for the inauguration, there was a huge gathering at the Lincoln Monument. And that had exclusive television rights given to HBO. And they just paid a few million, and CNN couldn't show any of the groups, the rock groups, because it's basically a rock concert with a couple of speeches by Obama and Biden. And the CNN could show the political speeches, but they couldn't show any of the music acts, except from far, far, far away, like something like 5 miles away. And I thought that was interesting, that this supposedly very, very public event where millions of people, or yeah, maybe millions of people were in attendance watching on video screens, could not be shown by the various networks because they were all exclusively bought out for a few million dollars. So Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper had to fill in this mighty gap for hours and hours and hours talking about something that they couldn't show, but was actually owned, or the exclusive rights were held, by their quote-unquote sister network, HBO, because it's all owned by Time Warner. And they were sitting 5 miles away on a roof outside, and they're looking just freezing to death out there, turning blue. Anyway, they had this inaugural ball the next day.
Did you go to the ABC channel and watch who played?
No, you could. The HBO thing, I don't have HBO.
Oh, okay, all right.
So that one you had to pay. That was sort of pay television, I guess. I didn't even try.
What I remember is that Bob Dylan played at Clinton's inauguration in January 93. And I kept wondering the past month, hearing about these things, whether he would play at the new one. Do you know if he played?
No. No, it was Bono, U2.
Oh, no Dylan.
No.
He did say a couple of years ago that politics is hell, so maybe he's disillusioned.
So that night, ABC, the inauguration night, ABC, as I said before, went on with this inauguration neighborhood ball. And it was really sick, the whole 2-hour show live. And they had all these music groups. And they had a group there called, and it took a while for Obama to get there. And they had a group called Maroon 5. Now I know why Bugs Bunny was always gesturing at people and saying, what a maroon. After that performance, I'd enjoy sending Obama them on, be the first rock group sent on a space mission where they really get marooned and maybe even have it 5 times, you know, repeat it. And Obama, and then Beyonce was there. I call her Bouncy, but Beyonce was there, and she was singing this song At Last, which is going to be the dance that Obama and Michelle were going to have. And even though Obama was saying that his Michelle was looking terrific, it really seemed like Barack couldn't take his eyes off Beyonce. And Beyonce couldn't take her eyes off of either Barack, Michelle, or both of them. I couldn't figure out. And she was crying. Beyonce looked, she was doing her best to act like she was really, really moved and touched, and like she was crying, except no tears came out, of course. And Barack and Michelle Obama were on one podium, and far, far away on another stage, another round stage, certainly beyond arm's length, is Beyonce. And as I said, she starts pretending to get all emotional about singing the song. And the only thing that would have made this arrangement more uncomfortable would have been if Beyonce had started singing, "Happy Inauguration."
Oh, yeah.
Mr. President. I guess you have to be a certain age to understand what that reference is anyway. But Obama.
Getting near 50 years, Greg.
Oh, yeah. Obama and his wife, that was Marilyn Monroe singing to John F. Kennedy, with whom she was having an affair, or with whom
and
he
just
was having.
Before she got killed.
Just before.
By the Kennedys.
Yeah.
You know that she was murdered by the Kennedys.
Really?
Yep. By Robert and John. That's why they were cursed. Oh, Kennedy family's been cursed, right? They even talk about the Kennedy curse.
So there, Obama and his wife are dancing, or trying to. And the only thing that would have made it more complete would have been lowering a disco ball and watching them make out with one another. And they look like the only black kids at the high school. All these nerds around them trying to dance. And it looked like Obama had picked up some dance tips from the white kids in his school. So
like the little kid, Greg, you know, so the emperor's got no clothes.
Yeah.
You are.
And then there's this guy, Will I Am. And really, he should have been Will I Am will I ever be a performer or will I ever be able to keep my hat on? Because he was jumping around and trying to keep this funny hat on his head and singing badly. His name is Will.i.am. I think he was with the Black Eyed Peas.
Is not the rock concert that ABC owned.
Yeah, this is the ABC Neighborhood Ball. And it looked like the American Music Awards, except without Dick Clark. But then again...
How did you see this?
I saw it on ABC. They ran it on free television, but they paid exclusive rights. ABC.
But you said you couldn't see HBO.
The HBO one was on the previous day. That was the rock...
Oh, this is the replay.
No. On the Monday before, the night before the inauguration, there was a whole gathering on Martin Luther King Day at the Lincoln Memorial, and that's where U2 and Bruce Springsteen and all that, they were there at this thing, and that was the one that HBO owned. The next night, after Barack Obama had been inaugurated, there were all these balls, and this was the Neighborhood Ball, and ABC Disney had the rights to it, and they played it on ABC.
I did see a bit of that on the replay, on the news. Someone sent me clips of him dancing. I thought he danced very slowly.
Barack?
Mr. Obama and his wife.
I don't think he really wanted to dance. At one point, it looked like he was just lifting his leg and pounding it up and down like a horse counting.
As I look at him, he looks like a nerd.
Yeah. Like I said, he's picked up his dance tips from the white kids in his school.
Yeah, he really is. Remember Zappa did a song on the album You Are What You Is?
You are what you is.
Black guy trying to be white. This Obama guy looks like the black guy's trying to be white in the, say, 70s and 80s.
Yeah, he doesn't want to look threatening.
Yeah, and he's very timid-looking, odd. And now, did you know that his honeymoon with the press is over?
Yeah.
2 days later, he got in a little scuffle in the newsroom.
Oh, did he? Which one was that?
Well, down in the basement of where the White House press is, this guy asked him a question about the compromised appointment for assistant secretary or something. And Obama said, come on, guys. I'm not down here talking about those kind of things. I'm just here down to get to see where you live, what you're like, what's it like. And he got mad. And he stared at the guy and supposedly stared at him. That's what the news said, but he didn't stare. He just says, come on. He says, look, later, tomorrow when I have a press conference, you can answer the questions. And they say, no, ask the questions. And he just ignored them. But the media's angry because they are just getting proper picture releases, and they won't let the press into the White House to take uncontrolled pictures. Jeez, I know more than you.
Well, no, what I heard was that you don't know more than I do, Bob, but yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yeah, I do. I
had to put up a bit of a fight there for the audience's sake, right?
Yeah,
if the host is being challenged by his guest co-host saying that the host doesn't know as much, I have to put up a bit of a fight with you.
Good, I'll give in,
just to be nice.
We'll see what Lou Keema and Thingbad say. They're sitting here on the chat portal with me, waiting to do what they're going to do.
Do you know, I can't get onto that. I can't get onto that. Something has precluded me from entering that area. I've got to get the address from that. But I'll work it out. I'm working it out here.
Yeah, he looks like a white nerd.
Ed Henry from CNN was on the air the other night complaining about Obama, or just exposing Obama, saying that when he's in a public meeting, he looks like he's very bipartisan. But when he gets behind the scenes, evidently he starts telling people, look, I got elected. I'm in charge now. You're going to do what I want you to do.
Yeah, so I won. I saw that. I won.
Yeah, I won. I won. I won this, and you have to listen to me now.
Yeah, they don't. It's all so much naivety. I mean, okay, go ahead. What were you saying?
So, getting back to this Neighborhood Ball.
Well, I'm looking at the Drudge Report. Obama gets opening approval rating, numbers starting to normalize.
Right.
The honeymoon's over. We want some new excitement.
Well, Mariah Carey, speaking of excitement, Mariah Carey was at this event as well. And I'm wondering, does she even practice anymore? Does she have to practice? Or does she just go and make it up? I mean, she's just so talented that she can just go and do it. But it sounds a little strange because she's not really practicing the song. She's making it up. And she sang this hero thing again as if Obama's a hero. And Mariah Carey felt it necessary to wear something that looked sort of formal while at the same time providing
a lot of audience suspense as to whether the dress would actually stay up and not just drop to the floor in a heap, leaving her just wearing a smile. That's basically, Mariah Carey got up there. I was wondering what is going to happen here. It just, that dress didn't look like it had the tensile strength to actually hold up there.
Probably designed to be that way. That fascinates. That makes you stare.
I know it did. And Sting showed up, and he looks a bit weird now.
Well, he's a Jungian. He's into Carl Jung.
Because he's got...
I heard about him 20 years ago.
He's got a big, full beard. And it looks like it's coated liberally in Just for Men. You know that Just for Men stuff?
No, what's
that? Oh, it's this. I know, you haven't been watching television. It's a stuff that you comb into your hair to make it look like it hasn't gone gray so that you can attract young women again. That's what they say, anyway. So, and then when ABC thought that the youth audience had completely disappeared, that Barack Obama was gone, and they had to fake that. They had to fake it, making him look like he'd stayed through the whole neighborhood ball. And I saw how they did it. What they did was, and I think they have to put up a little sign in the corner whenever anything is live. If they're saying a show is live, as soon as they cut to anything recorded, they have to remove that. It must be some kind of law, because I see it on CNN all the time. When it looks like they've cut to a commercial in another cut to an interview that looks like it's segued in live, then the live thing disappears sometimes if it had been pre-recorded. And during this neighborhood ball, they would pop up live. And I got to check the tape now. I didn't think about it. But when they went to commercials at one point, you see Barack Obama on cue, perfectly on cue. He goes straight for a microphone that's sitting on the stage. He leaves all of his little white friends dancing on this podium, you know, chatting with them and stuff, looking all casual. And then he gets serious, goes over to the mic stand, pulls the mic out of it, and he starts pounding on it to see whether it's working. And it looked like he just really desperately wanted to speak, that he was fed up with just standing up there dancing, that he needed to make a speech. But what I really think they were doing was they were pre-recording a whole segment to run later. So they were using the 3 minutes that they were away for commercials to do a probably two-minute bit that they'd put on ice for half an hour or an hour or whatever, and then resurrect it at the end of the program to make it look like Barack Obama actually stayed for this nightmare of a show. And I got to check the tapes on that to see whether they removed the live thing or popped it up and down during the program to make it accurate as to whether Obama was there. Because he'd pop up at the strangest times, and it looked like he was very disassociated from the show that was going on at the time.
What does Danny, our executive producer, think of Obama? Is he making any comments?
Yeah, we know what he is. He's a Zionist.
Well, that's what Danny feels about him. So
yeah, well, that's what we both think about him. No, we're not impressed by Obama, no. I mean, impressed to the extent that, I mean, he's more impressive on certain grounds than Bush, because Bush was just so silly. But then again, when you look at the kind of hilarity that Bush gave us in terms of doing a show like this, I mean, Bush isn't funny when he's the leader of a country that's going and killing people. But then again, being impressed with Barack Obama, while he's going to be going and being the leader of a country that goes and kills people all over the world, maybe more than Bush did, possibly. I mean, at what point should be impressed? A guy that can speak and went to school and actually achieved, or a guy who got the job because his dad was president and put him in there? There's no difference, really, when you factor it all out. You don't go, oh, well, I appreciate the murder and killing all around the world because the guy can speak well. So, but I think that's what we're supposed to be, and because he's black, or because he had a black father, he had an African father, we're supposed to be impressed by this and impressed that he's going and killing people, which is, you can tell from, you know, day one that that's going to happen. I could tell it minus a year that was going to happen, pretty much. Certainly, yeah. Minus 2 months, you knew it by the after he'd been elected, and before that, in his speeches at AIPAC, and you could just tell. So, about and about Afghanistan. I'm going to arm up Afghanistan. We're going to move in there. That's going to be our new front.
Right. What happened to That's the comforting. Fundamentalist preacher, the pastor who spoke?
Yeah.
What was his picture, his talk? Did you hear it?
Was that the guy? I thought, was that another guy? That wasn't Jeremiah Wright, was it?
No. He brought in a fundamentalist.
Oh, you know, was it the white guy or the black guy?
White guy.
I don't know. I didn't see that bit. I've been meaning to review that. I'll have to review that for next week. I just my main emphasis was seeing the inaugural ball. That I needed to see. The other stuff. He brought this. It looked like a black religious leader got up there and he started talking about how and he was rhyming, doing poetry about. Black man, white, Asian people, red people, and saying that they can do it. I'll bring that in. That was a good bit. But then then disparaging white people and Barack Obama's giggling over in the corner.
Yeah, Barack Obama is a great alibi. He's reunifying the nation. He's bipartisan, so he allows the right wing, fourth right Nazis to continue operating.
Yeah.
If you were a Stalinist, you'd get rid of these guys.
Sure, yeah. But he has no interest in that because the Republicans, his Republican Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, is there.
Yeah.
Just bringing in people that are, and we'll go into this later, how Obama's bringing in people, or actually Clinton. This is just a Clinton regime with this guy there. I think that he just took time having to convince Hillary Clinton that things will go along a lot smoother without her as president.
Yes.
That if they use this guy's a great cover, that that they can carry on doing what they were doing during the Bush administration and get away with it because they'll have a black president. And in a sense, look at Clinton. He made out that he was the black president. He said he was the first black president, or people said that about him. And what did that give him? That gave him cover to go bombing all over the world.
Right. So the presidential image is separate from any human bureaucratic function. The human bureaucracy of Fourth Reichness continues.
Yeah, of course. I don't understand why anybody would think it would have changed. It's only your. It's only if you're. You know, if you have a Pollyannish view of things, that you would think that suddenly, when you get rid of Bush and he flies away to Midland, Texas, that things are going to get automatically better.
Well, Garrett Dean used to tell me, Bob, people live on the surface. People live on the surface. This is it. If you actually, all these people are excited about a surface image. It's incredible. Humanity. It's limited. Limitations of humanity. Oh, what do you expect, Greg?
I don't expect anything.
We're made in the image of God, and so he must be dumb, and we're dumb all over.
Well,
right?
No. I'm not going to say that. Why would I say that, Bob? Of course I wouldn't say that. I'm not going to agree to that. No, don't get me to do that.
No, I'm quoting Frank, you know.
Oh, did he say that? We're in the image of God? Is that what he said?
No, he made fun of the Christians. They said that we're made in the image of God, and if we're dumb, then he must be dumb.
Oh, right,
dumb
right.
Dumb all over. Dumb all over.
Yeah,
that was the song.
Yeah.
You agree with that.
All right, I'll agree with that.
There are some intelligent humans, though. I've met some.
Yeah?
I met some.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, participate much. They kind of hide out.
Have you met one recently?
No, this is, you know, during my career in intelligence, I met a few. One of them was a quadrillionaire, interesting guy.
Don't you live with quadrillion mayors where you are now?
No comment, Greg. Come on now. Hey, come on.
You're not going to do that for me?
No, I live in a gated community with the most powerful people in the world, you know, so I can't reveal exactly where I am.
Right. Hey, you know what? People have been phoning. One person.
I'm glad you're ignoring them. That's pretty good.
One person phoned. I can't see them. There's so much light coming in, and the setup is so difficult. I had it perfect. I had everything perfect, just the way I wanted it. And then.
It's their show, Greg. I think you should find out where their button is and put them on. Oh, look, somebody just joined the chat line. Man needs sexy girl.
Yeah,
I'm going to say that.
What is that? What is that? Give me the address to that thing, Bob. Just
Axis of Evil Radio.com/chat2.html.
Chat.2 or just chat2?
Chat2.html.
All right. No, that won't work. I can't get that to work here. What a drag. And it just kills everything. Oh, well. Another thing. Another facility gone to hell.
This guy is a person, male or female, is using code. ASL. Do you know what that means? ASL? What's that? Please, M, 20 minutes. Oh, answer the phone, maybe.
Really? Oh, age, sex. Oh, no. Age, sex, location, that means. That means somebody has come in there totally by mistake. They don't know that there's a show going on. Tell them there's a show going on. Tell them where to go to listen to the show online.
Yeah, and I'll say
Give them the phone number to phone in here.
Okay.
416-595-1655 is the number that you can call. I very rarely give it because I'm just assuming that nobody's interested, and the only people who do phone are the people who already have it. Which I think I'm going to prove that right now. But 416-595-1655 if you want to chime in on whatever we're talking about, which was Obama and this neighborhood ball and my fascination with how bad this ABC program was. Finally about this show, I think when ABC thought that everybody has left, the show is so poor, and they've put out all of their big artists and Obama's Dance with Michelle, and everybody's going, look, this is just terrible, I got to move out of here. They thought the youth audience had completely disappeared, and it was only the infirm that couldn't make it over to the set to actually turn it off. They trotted out Joe Biden and his wife, who danced to a non-star singer. You didn't see, they didn't have a star singing for them. I thought that was really weird when I watched it this time, that Barack Obama got Beyonce. They were singing to everybody got, you know, they were all singing. They got together. All of them got together. All these divas and other people got together and sang for Barack Obama. But when Joe Biden came out, they just had a no-name singer, just often, you know, without even being pictured. And
look, Greg, put yourself in, if you were president,
yeah.
Can you imagine you and Catherine waltzing? Can you imagine yourself going through this stuff?
No, it's sick.
It's sick, right? Yeah. You could not, you'd be embarrassed to, I mean, how can you do it?
Yeah, it's completely sick. I think we have a call. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Sorry, my one son just said he has to go to the bathroom. Hey, what about Peter McKay being the head of NATO? I know it's off topic.
Has that happened?
Well, this is what I'm hearing on the news, is that he's being nominated to head NATO.
Really?
I was on the news this morning.
Oh, well, that's news to me. I don't know. I think it's, it's perfect and horrible at the same time.
Well, I thought you might get a kick out of that.
Well, I've always disliked him. Doesn't everybody?
Well, I'll never forget, I was struggling in business 20 years ago. I get on a horrible, you know, commuter flight to Ottawa from Toronto, and of course, he's flying first class at 26. You know, I hated him. I've hated him since he was born. But, yeah, I thought you'd like that.
Yeah,
like that.
I'm gonna go and check that out. Thank you for telling me about that.
Caller.
Yeah, hold on, caller.
The synchronicity is that mentioned Garrett Dean, you know, my mentor in Nova Scotia, and he was born in 1907. He knew the McKay family. You know, he grew up in Pictou, New Glasgow area, and he used to tell me about the father of McKay and Peter McKay. It's interesting to bring up Peter McKay, and that's Garrett Dean's world.
Yeah, Peter McKay, remember he got caught up in the battle over the Conservative Party and David Orchard?
And his girlfriend is Clinton's mistress.
Who's that?
Brenda somebody. Yeah, Rich. Very involved with Clinton.
Let me see whether...
Brenda Richburst.
I didn't know that there was a Dutch guy, I think, or Danish guy that was the head of... of NATO. I don't see anything here on. I don't see anything on CBC.ca. They're behind it. I don't know where the caller got that information, but it's.
How could Peter McKay, Canadian politician, be head of NATO?
Well, he'd have to resign his post, I guess. And
aren't they generals?
Maybe you know what they could be trying to do there. Is to get the Green Party woman into his seat, that he leaves. And goes to NATO, heads NATO, and then Canada will have a bigger part in this whole Afghan mission. It'll start extending or getting broader, and because we've got our man in charge. And then Elizabeth May will run in the by-election in that area and probably get in because she's been prepped. And everybody, a lot of people saying, what the heck is she doing running in that riding where she'll never, ever, ever win? So this could have been a reason why she's there, because we all know, all of us on the inside know, that the Green Party are just conservatives. They're just another wing of the Conservative Party.
More synchronicity. I was talking to someone here in the compound from Canada, visiting, and this person was involved in the environmental movement in Canada for years. And I said, who are the poster figures for the Canadian health movement? I said, Suzuki? And she goes, yeah. And then she says, Elizabeth May, who I'd never heard of. And now she comes up. It's just incredible. I've never heard of Elizabeth May. This was said to me on Friday. So she runs in Nova Scotia against McKay.
All right, I have the story here about Peter McKay.
What about what I just said about Elizabeth May?
Yeah.
But she's an environmentalist, like on the level of Suzuki?
Well, she has a media profile about that's related to the environment, and people watched her on television during the debate. They suddenly let her be part of the debate. Originally, the NDP wanted to keep her out, and some of the other parties wanted to keep her out. And then I think Harper, was it he said, oh, I think it's okay, she can be in this. And then they had to kind of relent on that because it would have looked like they were keeping a woman out of politics. And, you know, Layton has to keep up this image of being a quote-unquote progressive. And so he had to relent there, although he'd originally said, no, she can't be there. So this is the source of the story that our good caller talked about. Economist magazine pegs McKay for role as NATO chief. Mr. McKay is being, this is by Campbell Clark, January 24th. So this is from yesterday. And I'm quoting from this Economist article, or is it in the National Post? No, it's in the Globe and Mail. Would Defense Minister Peter McKay drop his political career in Canada for the perks of a top diplomatic post with NATO in Brussels? Mr. McKay is being floated as a potential candidate for Secretary General of the North Atlantic Treaty Alliance, a high-profile international role, although experts say it's probably a long shot. And the woman that you're talking, just deviating from the article here, it was the Magna International guy. I've forgotten her name. Brenda.
Frank. Yeah. Just think of the rich guy, Frank somebody.
Stronach. Belinda Stronach.
Yeah.
The somewhat strained alliance is looking for a new Secretary General to replace Jaap de Hoop Scheffer, the former Dutch foreign minister who has held the post since 2004. Tensions have developed in the alliance over such issues as combat commitments in Afghanistan and eastward expansion of the alliance. And many believe a unifying figure is needed. Peter McKay. The British magazine The Economist cited Mr. McKay as a potential candidate, although it's far from clear whether Canada's defense minister and former foreign minister would be willing to cash in his political career for a job that is usually a post-politics career capper. So there's that story. That's the...
Greg, yeah. I keep thinking, all week I kept thinking of Moron Man, and he kept saying that, don't talk about board meetings and your trivial personal life. Talk about the issues. And I was thinking, well, what are the issues? I didn't know what... Why did he want conventional issues talked about? The guy was living, embedded in the TV landscape, incredibly, you know.
Well, we had someone phone in, a new listener phone in a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, and they wanted to hear more stories about the... maybe it was before I went on holiday. They wanted to hear more stories about the Parliament in Canada going into this proroguing and so on.
Oh, isn't that over this week?
Maybe. I just think...
Harper's in trouble, right?
I just wonder, why do people want us to do things that are just done to death in the mainstream media? I suppose sometimes I do, but that I get wrapped up in things as well that are done to death. But it's strange, I think. But Moron Man just complains about anything, especially when we talk about, if we mention Israel, And I'm surprised he hasn't been phoning in. Maybe he's been sleeping in now. Maybe there's a cat at the bottom of his bed warming his feet on a Sunday morning. Because he seems to get really somewhat irritated about any criticism, harsh criticism of right-wing figures or when we go after Israel.
Well, I think he thinks that you and Daniel look at it too simply. But he never explains the complexities. That's the argument. It's a very complex situation over there. There's, you know, all kinds of factors. And if you just take sides, you don't understand it. That's the alibi the Zionists get, right? It's too complex for a simple black and white judgment.
Yeah, yeah. And also, the other one that he brings forth, when he actually gets into an argumentative point of view, actually about a topic, he'll say, they just want peace.
Oh,
Israel just wants peace. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe he doesn't say it's complex. Then he's silly. You know, he's just paid to harass you.
It would seem, but he's. We do enjoy hearing from him. I have to admit that it's like he is a star of the program.
Yes.
But it is irritating when he actually arrives. So we have another call, and which I'm going to go to right now. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just called earlier about Peter. So I had another question for you, not a question. Just didn't ask a question before. Have you guys heard anything about Frank Magazine going bankrupt and closing down again?
No.
I keep hearing they're done.
Yeah. Well, they got it did go bankrupt before and was bought by somebody, and then they tried to resurrect it.
Right.
I remember Danny wanted me to get find out if we could get a subscription to it because they're often on to things that would be interesting to talk about on the show. But
I
had a hard time finding it.
I'm asking people now, and they're all saying it's over.
I had a hard time finding it when I went to look for it at the world's biggest bookstore.
Crap.
Which you'd think I'd be able to find it there, wouldn't you, being the world's biggest bookstore? But maybe it isn't the world's biggest bookstore. Maybe.
Yes, so now you can sue. You're not.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah. I came here saying I traveled to halfway across the world to go to the world's biggest bookstore. I'm going to the world's biggest everything.
Yeah.
And you are not.
Great show, guys.
Okay, bye. So. Now, Obama, hey, let me see. I got a few clips of this. I've been ignoring playing them. Let me see. What have I got here? I thought I had. Oh, here's. This is interesting, Bob. You might find this interesting. Here, listen to this.
So I learned a long time ago when to hush up. And if you turn around, look at that screen, they got me counting down to 22 seconds. And the reason I want to keep talking is because I can't dance.
Well, neither can Barack, actually.
Stay with me, okay? Be nice to me. But I tell you what, I might not be able to dance, but I sure like holding her. Thank you all very, 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 very much.
Yeah. Who's that, Drake?
That's Biden. That's Biden at the inaugural, neighborhood ball on ABC.
When he sent out the Freemasonic code, the 22.
That's right. Yeah, and here's another one, Bob.
Latest missile strikes in Pakistan's Northwest Territories. 22 people were killed in separate strikes believed to be launched by the U.S. One intelligence official says at least 5 foreign militants were among those killed yesterday. The U.S. has staged more than 30 missile strikes inside Pakistan since August in an effort to quell cross-border attacks in Pakistan. But because of civilian casualties, Pakistanis had hoped President Obama would end the policy of missile strikes. But a former leader is not surprised the strategy has continued.
Then another 22.
Yeah, Greg, I totally forgot about Frank Magazine. So I went to their website. They've got an issue out February 3rd, one day off my birthday. But I just realized this would be a good way to keep up on what goes on in your country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. The back issue's $10 each, and then you can't see anything. They're cheap. There's no access, just the cover.
Yeah. You got to pay for it. I mean, that's how they stay in business, Bob, is that you have to pay for things.
Well, not on the internet. Recent issues, okay. No, jailbound, little Peggy headed to the big house. What's that about? Do you know?
No.
Party hardy,
Sex, booze, cocaine, college group fundraiser runs amok. Celebrity canine dies. Man, geez, I don't even know what the... You don't know what that's about, eh?
No.
I mean, I remember they exposed the battle between Derek Kirkhoff and Nelson Thal. They had some interesting information back 20 years ago on that.
That no one was interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last thing I read. So do you read Frank magazine?
No, no. Actually, I went to look for it one day, and I did find it, and it was just, I believe it was a whole issue where they outlined the homes of the rich and famous in Toronto, gave their addresses and how much everybody's worth, put them on a pecking order. And I thought, well, I don't know, I'm not that interested in that, but maybe there was something good about it.
See, that's what's curious about you as a journalist. You're caught between the Post Information Society and a little bit of information. You say, yeah, you know, we could actually read Fact Magazine, and maybe there might be some stuff in there we could use. Never followed up on that.
No, no. I did. I went quite a few times trying to find it, and just couldn't. Oh, I think we have another call. You're on the air.
Hey, your favorite druggie saved somebody's life, you know.
Did you?
No.
Oh, who?
You know, they're going to put me in rehab, that woman.
Oh, how did she save somebody's life?
Amy, I can't remember. I heard something about it on AM radio.
Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
She saved somebody's life.
Something like that. Some good deed. They were all... something like that, yeah. The druggies can't do good things. That's not allowed, is it?
I like Amy Winehouse, her music. What did you say? Our favorite, how would you know?
Our favorite druggie? Because we've seen a video of her smoking crack.
Oh, yeah, but oh, she doesn't mean it's your favorite.
Well, we did, we used one of her songs once as a parody, which is going to which will be coming up again soon, I think next month. We're going to be definitely using that song. If anybody knows what it is, you know why we're going to be pulling that one out.
So what do you think of Chinglish?
Who's that?
It's the language we're all going to have to learn, and then you have to put up with arbitrary complexity like we have to when you give us grammar lessons. Chinglish, because, well, you know, like the Chinese. Are underwriting everything, so we're all going to have to learn the language, except maybe we can get away with Chinglish, which is some hybrid of the two.
Hmm.
But I tell you, it'll drive you to drinking. I mean, even I can't handle it.
Can you give me an example of Chinglish?
No, and you'll thank me for not.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll look into that. Maybe.
Yeah.
Hey, caller, have you ever heard of Karen Dalton? YouTube Karen Dalton. She was the Amy Winehouse 30 years ago. Bob Dylan's favorite folk singer.
Negative.
Dalton. Go on YouTube and check that out.
Okay. Well, I better hang up before I say something rude about you.
No. Talk about the media dynamics.
I can dump you.
McClure.
No. I promise. The kid loves today. I understand.
All right. Okay.
No. I like you.
Anyways, I'm...
the best student of Bob's top-down, bottom-up analysis.
Have you been getting my emails, Tom?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I looked at that a little bit, went to one of the links, and then the stupid computer was going silly. Maybe I'll look more at it.
Okay. All right.
He sounds like a Maritimer, the accent. Did you notice that? Are you from the Maritimes?
Negative.
Negative.
Okay, I'll catch you later.
All right. That guy knows when to leave.
Why?
He knows. He knows when... He's done. For a radio audience, he knows exactly. We don't know that. You don't know that. He knows that. He's very attuned.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
Oh, I wanted to say, did you hear that thing at the beginning that I played? This.
I was going to ask you, what is that?
This.
It was some song, Obama-related thing.
Libertarian, socialist, left and right.
Hispanic, Asian, Native.
That
Thank
one?
You so much for
meeting, what is that?
Brock. That's had to wait a really long time.
It took a little while. I've had a few things to do.
I know, but now that you're elected, we can make videos every day. Remember how you promised we'd do that?
That's not true.
But I remember you saying that.
All I've said.
I know. Just one song. So you want to do it now?
Absolutely.
Tell me when you're ready.
Let's go.
Democrat and Republican, black, white,
libertarian, socialist, left and right,
Hispanic, Asian, Native American, gay, straight,
birds and cats, fish and live bait.
Fish and live bait. yeah, that's Obama girl. Have you heard of her, Bob?
The one who got him going 2 years ago by making I Love Obama video or something.
Yeah. That's one of the latest ones. That's her duet. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, just talking about the Frank magazine.
Yes.
Reading the street news that they put out on corners, they sell help the homeless, help the poor.
Yeah, that's evidently, I've got a copy of that, and I haven't really looked through it, but evidently there's just amazing stuff in there that people get really bent out of shape about.
Oh, no kidding. But in there they write that Frank magazine is put out by CSIS or else is partially controlled by CSIS. They say they claim in there that there's a big connection between Frank magazine and CSIS.
Yeah, I know. That magazine, homeless magazines, as I would put it, I don't know whether it should be called that, but they're
exactly.
always saying outrageous things, and nobody notices. And then
exactly.
one day they did start noticing, and then they were saying that it was anti-Semitic or something. Remember that?
Right. Yeah. There's an awful lot of controversial stuff in there, and it just blows me away. The guy keeps putting it out, talking about the Illuminati and the bankers, how they control everything.
Well, I
don't know what your take
Illuminati.
On that is, but boy, this guy never stops talking about Illuminati and the bankers and how they run the world. And
that'll make you homeless if you have that attitude.
You know, suffice to say,
you get that?
Yeah, he said. I don't know whether you heard that. Bob was saying that will get you homeless if you have that attitude.
Exactly. No kidding. Okay, listen, I'm going to church right now.
Really? Okay.
So I'll talk to you later.
All Thanks. Right. Bye.
Bye.
We don't
tolerate religion.
I don't tolerate that, but that's okay. Imagine leaving this show to go to go to church. That doesn't seem right to me. I would never do that. Never. If I did that, there wouldn't be any show.
Well, there's a lot of blocking going on. I mean, back in the early 70s when Zappa's album started to get noticed, a couple of psychologists said, there's a lot of people blocking and not hearing what Frank is saying. There's a lot of blocking going on in this show, Greg. They don't seem to understand what we're doing here.
No, and if anybody thought that you could change the world by a radio program, it doesn't work. Nobody is changing their way because of this program that I know of.
And we have no idea why they call in, what they're interested in.
No.
It's so ridiculous. It's our audience, we represent those that don't know what the heck's going on, and that's the majority. And they don't care. They want to be on. But they think they're alternative, too. They think service them, provide good.
Very, very different. All right. That was Obama Girl. That was on barelypolitical.com. You can go and see a whole bunch of Obama Girl videos with one of them is with Ralph Nader. Some of them are really good. I'd recommend going and checking out Obama Girl on barelypolitical.com, and I thought I'd play that for you this morning. So
She makes them.
No, I think it's the story behind that. I think her name is Ettinger. Her last name is Ettinger. she was discovered as Miss June, Howard TV Miss June, 2007, on Howard Stern TV. I guess he has a female model that assumes this role every month. And she was that person back in June 2007. And as a result of that, someone saw her on there and had this idea to do this Obama Girl business, and had her as took a flyer on it, and I guess he paid her, and they write stuff and produce material and put it out on the net. I don't know how they make money on it or what the angle is, but Miss Ettinger has got a lot of notice because of her role as Obama Girl, and she's quite good. I like her.
Okay. You know, just down the street, Oprah Winfrey lives here.
Oh, yeah.
And I was wondering, what is she going to become a government position, an ambassador or something?
I don't know. You're on the air. We'll get that in a second. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
I was just asking, or I was just wondering if you could turn up Bob's levels a little bit so that we could hear him a little better. It's sometimes hard to.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'm sorry if that's difficult. I'm pushing about as far as I can, but
okay.
The levels here, I don't want to push the levels too high. But thanks for that feedback. Okay.
Very good. Have a good day.
All right. Bye. I mean, what I hear here on this board, I'm not even sure that that's going. Speak again, Bob.
Hey, I'm here. 416-595-1655.
Yeah, your level is technically here. It looks like your level is exactly the same as mine, so if not a bit higher. So I'm not quite sure why you're not hearing the, Bob properly. I'm sorry about that if that is the case. We're going to go to this, and we'll be right back.
You're more than a president. You're a role model, a father figure, and a man we can all look up to. And for that, we all say thank you.
Have a service or product you want the public to know about?
Then advertise with CKLN 88.1 FM. Call sales at 416-979-5251, extension 2373.
Our diverse multicultural music and spoken word programming is streamed and broadcast 24/7 to the GTA and is heard throughout Southern Ontario on Rogers 947.
We can be heard on the web at www.ckln.fm.
Contact our sales office weekdays, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Or drop in at 55 Gould Street at Church, second floor in the Ryerson Student Campus Center.
To advertise your product or service with CKLN, email advertising@ckln.fm.
Or call sales at 416-979-5251, extension 2373.
CKLN, celebrating 25 years of independent radio.
The views expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. Listener discretion is advised.